to have been heard. Today, on this special program, we carry on with our respect to the families out on the acres. As you've already heard in the various features presented in the first half of our program, in which we heard Mrs. William Feller and Mrs. Mosier and others speak about Mother's Day and good neighbors and others. Our next guest is a young Polk County farmer, Lou Morris Jr., host to the 1945 Contour Plowing Match, interested in progressive agriculture. Lou, we're happy to have you.
Thanks, Herb, and I'm glad to represent the honest-to-gosh farmers, as Bill said this morning, on your 10th anniversary broadcast.
Lou, as long as we're speaking now about the honest-to-goodness farmers, let's ask you, are you ready for corn planting?
Yes, the plowing was finished Wednesday, and I may start planting Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, fine. I hope that many, many others will be in the same position to go ahead. And, of course, we know many of them already are planting. Now, how does agriculture's future look to you, Mr. Morris?
Herb, I'm a little pessimistic. These prices and high yields can't last forever. I'm specifically concerned about the economic pinch that will come when prices for farm products fall and the prices the farmer must pay stays up and come together. As a farmer representative, we certainly appreciate the effort of the Farm Department to serve agriculture. And I challenge you and the Farm Department to serve us as well in the future as you have in the past.
Lou Morris, we'll accept that challenge, and we hope we can live up to it and be worthy of your confidence. We hope we can continue to bring programs of interest to the many thousands of farm families like yours who have honored us with their interest through the years. Some of our listeners have sent us cards and other messages telling of their interest through the years. Mr. and Mrs. F.A. Meyer of Melbourne, Mrs. H.H. Shanafeld of Sigourney, Mr. and Mrs. Diamond of Faulkner, Mr. and Mrs. G.A. Clough of Cherokee, R.H. Clark of Livermore, and many others. We've had a phone call this morning from Joel Robinson at Ames, bringing the greetings of the Iowa Corn and Small Grain Growers Association. And we have some special messages today, too, from a North Dakota farmer, Harold Hofstrand, who, as an Iowa State College student, was on our first program, speaking about Beechet at Ames. And this is the message Harold sent us. Congratulations on your 10th anniversary broadcast. You've certainly come a long way since that first program 10 years ago on which I appeared. Certainly, it's impossible for me to be with you. Let me wish you continued success in the fine work the WHO is doing. We have other messages, too, and to bring you those, I turn to those who have had much to do with the success of the Corn Belt Hour, the finest and most loyal associates anyone could ever have, Bill Diamond, Gene Meyer, and Eileen Shine. Gene, who sent the message you have?
I have one from Frank Mullen, Executive Vice President of NBC. My hearty congratulations to Station WHO of the Central Broadcasting Company on the 10th anniversary of this program, the Corn Belt Farm Hour. I know that during these 10 years, this program has meant much to its listeners, not only in connection with all of the useful information that has been broadcast, but also as a daily visitor in your home. I am happy to congratulate also my good friend Herb Plambeck, whose fine enthusiasm and whose continuous energy has kept this program at its peak.
Okay, Gene. Eileen, you have a telegram there.
Yes, from Dr. Hugh Bennett, Chief of the U.S. Soil Conservation Service. Congratulations on this anniversary after 10 years of farm service, pioneering and emphasizing public responsibility for furthering agriculture. What WHO is doing through day-by-day programs and such special events as your annual farm match and soil conservation field day contributes importantly on building security for American agriculture.
Eileen, thank you. And here's Bill Diamond, our associate.
From Secretary Anderson, my congratulations to WHO on the 10th anniversary of its Corn Belt Farm Hour. It is encouraging to me, as I know it must be to you and to your farm listeners, to realize what this anniversary means in terms of the growing recognition of the importance of agriculture. May your farm service program enjoy continued success.
Okay, Bill. Now, we had hoped that we would have a message direct from London, and I think we're going to use the transcribed report on it. Here it is.
This is London calling station WHO Des Moines. The British Broadcasting Corporation presents a special message by J. Warren McAlpine for the 10th anniversary of the Corn Belt Hour program.
Hello, Corn Belt Hour. Out there in Iowa, Corn Belt Hour is the name you just can't get away from. It might surprise some of you to know that 4,000 miles to the east, here in the North American service of the British Broadcasting Corporation, Corn Belt Hour is also a household term. Do you remember how Herb Plambeck, representing WHO and Iowa, and the BBC's North American service got together here in London four times in the last 5 years to produce your own Corn Belt Hour? And just at this moment, I'm going to take it upon myself to bring a message of good wishes on behalf of some of the people you heard on those occasions and at other times from London, including, of course, the land girl who drove a tractor during the war wearing her tin hat to keep the shrapnel off. There was a most reassuring symbol, if perhaps a small one, in those four Corn Belt Hours from London of the way different people can get together and work together and thoroughly enjoy it as we did. And today, another very real pleasure comes along. As an official of a foreign radio organization, I feel deeply privileged, and I do mean that word, to join in this brief moment in the 10th anniversary of Corn Belt Hour. From the BBC and all Corn Belt Hour's friends inside the BBC and outside it here in Britain, our very sincere congratulations and good wishes for many more years of service to the kind of broadcasting that so helps the farmers and their families in that great farming country that centers on Des Moines, Iowa.
That was a transcribed report of a direct congratulatory message from London transmitted to WHO earlier this week. Back in our studios now, in a minute or so, we'll present that special Corn Belt Hour resume, but first another highlight. Our lovely Corn Belt Hour soloist, Lucia Thorne, singing Home.
When shadows fall and trees whisper day is ending, my thoughts are ever wending home. When crickets call, my heart is forever to be returning home. When the hills conceal the setting sun, stars begin a peeping one by one. Night covers all, fortune may forsake me, sweet dreams will ever take me
The clock struck 10. What does it mean?
Surely not 10 seconds.
10 minutes, maybe.
No, gentlemen. It represents the passing of 10 years. It alludes to our forthcoming review of those years, our summation of a decade of farm hours.
A summary of 10 years of work, but do we have time?
Only if we hurry, and only if we condense the years of service, tell the story swiftly, and even then we can only hope to scratch the surface of 10 years of farm hour activity. It is May 8, 1937, and the first Corn Belt Hour goes on the air.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ernie Sanders. I was there 10 years ago. It was my privilege to be the announcer on the first show, and I recall that Herb Plambeck responded to his introduction with these words.
Thanks, Ernie. Friends, our new farm program brings some information about the plans for Dairy Day.
Herb continued with introductory remarks and concluded by saying,
C.A. Iverson, a member of the Dairy Industry Department of Iowa State College. Professor Iverson.
Friends, on the 29th of last month, the Honorable Nels Crackle, governor of the state of Iowa, issued a proclamation establishing Friday, May 14th, as Iowa Dairy Day. The program of the day will include...
Professor Iverson, whose voice you have just heard, went on to explain the purpose of Iowa Dairy Day and ended by reading the governor's proclamation. Following this first 15-minute program, WHO's Farm Department further developed its plans to serve the farmers of Iowa and the Midwest. Then, on July 31st, Governor La Follette of Wisconsin challenged Governor Kraschel of Iowa to a tall corn contest.
Naturally, it was won by Iowa.
Owing to the interest and encouragement of Colonel B.J. Palmer, president of the Central Broadcasting Company, these national tall corn contests continued through 1942, when the climax was reached. The winning stalk stood majestically 26 feet 10 inches in height.
Naturally, it was an Iowa corn stalk.
Just a minute, friend. I take pride in calling to your attention that my state of Arkansas won that there contest once. In 1938, it was.
Gentlemen, please, that's history.
1937 also saw the first of dozens of remote broadcasts. The 4-H Baby Beef Show from the Iowa State Fair.
And the first WHO Corn Show on October 16th.
There were 469 exhibitors that year.
From 16 states.
Displaying 3,304 ears of corn.
1938, the second year begins.
Our first anniversary was observed with a Mother's Day program. That was May 7th. 1938 was also the year of the first conservation program.
And the first thresherman's program.
The national GAR program.
And our corn husking contest broadcast featuring the Iowa and national champions.
1939.
There is so much to tell. Those years were so full, the activities so varied.
February 4th, 1939.
Remote broadcast from Corwith, Iowa, of the corn shelling bee. Climax to the first year's God's Acres project, which since has come to mean so much in the friendly, God-serving, humanity-loving community life of Iowa.
February 18th.
National Farm Institute broadcast. Stressing cooperation among agriculture, industry, and labor.
May 27th.
The Old Timers Program.
September 9th.
A remote broadcast from Ames of the first Iowa Rural Sports Festival.
September 23rd.
Underscore that date. It witnessed the birth of the first WHO Corn Belt plowing match, destined to become an outstanding Midwestern farm event and a Corn Belt Farm Hour feature.
1940.
January 6th was Livestock Day, stressing the importance of livestock to farm, town, city, state, and nation. This was also the year that brought us the first flying farmers broadcast, an interview with Mr. and Mrs. Leo Caskey, who flew their own plane from Lenox.
Other features of 1940, a program outlining new soil conservation practices.
And a program describing farm women's hobbies.
Another year of progress.
We begin the fifth year.
Farm and Home Week at Ames.
Farm Tenancy Program, March 1st.
March 15th, Ladies' Day. Oh, yes, and that was Income Tax Day that year, too.
Then there was the September 27th broadcast from the National Farmers Union.
And on October 18th, shortly before Pearl Harbor, the Navy and Army broadcast. It was in 1941 also that WHO's Farm Department began its intensive work on rural fire prevention. That work has grown, and it, too, has brought its rewards in lives and property saved, and in recognition to WHO for service gladly rendered.
1942, the beginning of our sixth year, a year that really started with our fifth anniversary broadcast, May 2nd.
Today, the Corn Belt Farm Hour observes its fifth anniversary. Herb Plambeck, WHO's farm editor, who launched the program on May 8, 1937, and who has been in charge ever since, has arranged for a number of special features, including...
Bobby Griffin went on to introduce Mr. J. O'Maland, WHO manager, and others who summarized the accomplishments of the first 5 years. 1942 saw the Corn Belt Hour grow in stature, in far-flung activity in a nation at war. We stressed production, underlined the acute need for the products of the farmer's toil. Broadcasts on wool, beef, swine, and poultry production. Broadcasts on scrap metal drives, the wax, selective service, and defense bonds. It was a year in which began the Master Swine Producers Project in cooperation with the State College. Since then, 125 of Iowa's 185,000 swine producers have received the coveted medal. And through it all, our thoughts were on our youth. We were only working for production at home. They were leaving home to fight. On July 4th, Father Flanagan spoke, reiterating his often quoted belief, the creed that inspires his labors.
I have found that if you will give a boy love, care, treat him with kindness, provide him with spiritual guidance, and the proper leisure time program, so that he will not have idle moments to get into mischief, my statement will ring true. There is no such thing as a bad boy.
And with that belief, Father Flanagan, we heartily agree.
We begin the seventh year, 1943.
Here's an echo from the past that will interest Secretary of Agriculture Lynn. On January 2nd, 1943, the WHO Corn Belt Hour microphone was on the scene to broadcast inaugural of state officials. We broadcast your words when you were sworn in, Secretary Lynn.
How well I remember. I had Mike Price.
Other featured 1943 shows, March of Dimes, AAA broadcast, National Farm Institute.
In 1943...